بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فلا زال الحديث عن مقدمة القواعد الأربعة لشيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله، ووصلنا للكلام إلى الكلام على قوله: فإذا عرفت أن الله خلقك لعبادته فاعلم أن العبادة لا تسمى عبادة إلا مع التوحيد، كما أن الصلاة لا تسمى صلاة إلا مع الطهارة. وبينا هذا في الدرس الماضي، ثم قال رحمه الله:
بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. الشيخ, after mentioning the خطبة الحاجة, he went on to proceed by mentioning that as for what proceeds in this lesson or this seminar this week, then that which we're about to speak about, then we have not ceased to continue to speak about the introduction of the four principles of قواعد العربة, written by the famous author Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab رحمه الله تعالى. And we reached the point whereby the Shaykh was mentioning the statement of Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, where he said that, and that you should know that if the فَإِذَا عَرَفْتَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ خَلَقَكَ الْعِبَادَةِ, that you should know that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you for his worship, then you should know that the worship is not truly considered as worship except with التوحيد, and except when it is accompanied with the التوحيد. Just like the salah, just like when the prayer, it's not truly considered as prayer except when it is accompanied with the purification. So when the shirk or the polytheistic actions, they enter into the worship, then it renders it annulled and invalid, just as that which is impure renders that which is pure impure. So the shirk wanted to mention that we spoke about this briefly last week, and from this point onwards the shirk is going to elaborate further on.
فقوله أن العبادة لا تسمى عبادة إلا مع التوحيد، أراد بالتوحيد توحيد العبادة المسمى بتوحيد الألوهية، وهو توحيد الرسل والمؤمنين. قال شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله: أما التوحيد الذي ذكره الله في كتابه وأنزل به كتبه وبعث به رسله، اتفق عليه المسلمون من كل ملة، فهو كما قال الأئمة شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله وأن شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله، وهو عبادة الله وحده لا شريك له. انتهى كلامه رحمه الله. ثم قوله رحمه الله: فإذا دخل الشرك في العبادة فسدت كالحدث إذا دخل في الطهارة.
The Shaykh wanted to continue with the saying that the worship is not truly considered as worship except if it is accompanied with the Tawheed. The Shaykh mentioned that the Tawheed is that where a person singles Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out alone in worship. And the Shaykh wanted to say that the meaning of Tawheed in this regard here is Tawheed al-Ibadah, the Tawheed where one singles out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out with their actions. Or Tawheed al-Ibadah is also known as Tawheed al-Uluhiyah. The Shaykh went on to mention the statement of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, that the Tawheed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his messengers with and his lessons in his books and sent down with the rest of the messengers is nothing more than the statement or the testification that none has the right to be worshipped alone except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and without describing any partners therein, and to leave and the abandonment of false deities besides Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the end of the quotes of Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah ta'ala. The Shaykh then said, and you should know that the shirk or the qualities to actions, if it enters into the worship, and the shirk will continue from here on.
فقوله رحمه الله فإذا دخل الشرك في العبادة. الشرك لغة بمعنى النصيب، واصطلاحا عرفه العلماء بأنه صرف حق من حقوق الله لغيره، أو مساواة غير الله بالله فيما هو حق لله تعالى. والشرك على نوعين: شرك أكبر وهو إثبات شريك لله تعالى في خصائصه، فيجعل الإنسان لله ندا في ربوبيته وألوهيته وفي أسمائه وصفاته. النوع الثاني من أنواع الشرك هو شرك أصغر، وهو مساواة غير الله بالله في هيئة الفعل وأقوال اللسان، أو كل ما أطلق عليه الشرع وصف الشرك لكنه لا يخرج عن الملة. قال الشيخ بن سعد رحمه الله، عبد الرحمن بن سعد رحمه الله: وأما الشرك الأصغر فهو جميع الأقوال والأفعال التي يتوسل بها إلى الشرك بالغلو، كالغلو في المخلوق الذي لا يبلغ رتبة العبادة كالحلف بغير الله والرياء ونحو ذلك.
النظر شيخ خالد الرباني حفظه الله تعالى mentioned the meaning of shirk in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh mentioned that a shirk, or the qualities and actions in the language of the Arabs, that it is a nasib, or that which has a part or share of shirk something. In the religion, our Shaykh mentioned that many of the scholars of Islam have defined a shirk as to give away one of the specific rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to other than Him, or to make Allah equal, or to set up a partner with Allah in worship. The Shaykh mentioned that the shirk, or the polytheistic actions, can be separated into two categories. The first category is the shirk al-akbar, the major shirk, which is that which is specific to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that a person gives away that which is due solely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or by setting up a partner or a rival with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the worship. And this could be in Allah's rububiyyah, in His lordship. And likewise, this could be in Allah's asma'i wa sifat, in His names and His attributes. And likewise, this could be also in the ibadah, or in the uluhiyyah, in the worship of the slaves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani, that they worship some of the creation instead of Allah or besides Allah. The second category of shirk, which the Shaykh said was the shirk al-asghar, the minor shirk. And this has been defined as to make a partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regards to an action. And the Shaykh Abd al-Rahman al-Sa'di rahimahullah said that the shirk al-asghar, that the minor shirk, is with regards to all of the statements and the actions which lead to the major shirk, such as showing off, or the love of being praised, or the love of being heard of, and the likes.
لا ريب أن الشرك يفسد العبادة ويبطلها، وإفساد الشرك للعبادة ظاهرة، لأن العبادة لا تكون مقبولة، لا تكون لك عند الله تبارك وتعالى حتى تكون خالصة له، لا يخالطها شيء لغيره تبارك وتعالى. ثم قال فسدت هذه العبادة كما يفسد الحدث الطهارة. نعم.
Shaykh continued by saying that the shirk renders the worship unacceptable and invalid and corrupts it, because the worship will never be accepted by Allah up until it becomes khalisa, up until it becomes pure and done solely for His sake subhanahu wa ta'ala. The author Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab mentioned fasadat, yani that it corrupts it.
قد دلت النصوص كما تقدم على أن الشرك يبطل الأعمال، في قوله تبارك وتعالى وقدمنا إلى ما عملوا من عمل فجعلناه هباء منثورا دليل على هذا، وكذلك في قوله تعالى لئن أشركت ليحبطن عملك، وكذلك أيضا قوله تبارك ولو أشركوا لحبط عنهم ما كانوا يعملون. في الصحيحين من حديث عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله عنهما قال قلت يا رسول الله أي الذنب أعظم؟ قال أن تجعل لله ندا وهو خلقك. الند هو الشريك بمعنى الشبيه والمثيل. نعم.
Shaykh said that the texts from the Quran and the Sunnah are many or much in mentioning that the shirk or the polytheistic actions renders the worship invalid, such as the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we turn to that which they, the servants, put forward by way of their actions, and we made it as though it was nothing. And also in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to ascribe partners in worship with me, then we would render your actions invalid. And the statement of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he answered Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, that which of the sins is most great, or which is the greatest sin? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam said that it is that you should ascribe a partner in worship with your Lord, and that you know that He created you. The Shaykh said that the shirk, or that the meaning of nid, is a shariq, a partner. So know that this, O people, is the greatest sin that a person could ever commit, that he sets up partners or rivals with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their worship.
ثم انتقل المؤلف رحمه الله للكلام على أيضا خطر الشرك وعظيم ضرره وفساده، فقال رحمه الله فإذا عرفت أن الشرك إذا خالط العبادة أفسدها وأحبط العمل وصار صاحبه من الخالدين في النار، عرفت أن أهم عليك معرفة ذلك. ولا ريب أن أهم ما يجب على العبد معرفته أن يعرف التوحيد وهو عبادة الله وحده لا شريك له، وأن يعرف كذلك الشرك ويحذره وهو دعوة غيره معه، وهذا ما نبه عليه المؤلف كثيرا في مؤلفاته وكتبه. والعلة في ذلك أنك إذا عرفت هذا الشيء فإنك تكون حريصا على أن تسلك السبيل الذي ينجيك من الشرك ومن الوقوع فيه. ولذلك قال لعل الله أن يخلصك من هذه الشبكة، من هذه الشبكة. الشبكة هي شركة الصياد، شركة الصياد بالتحريك بالفتح، التي يصيد بها، وعبر عنها بالشبكة هكذا، المعنى أن للشرك شركا أي حبائل، كما للصيد حبائل للصياد يصيد بها الصيد، كذلك الشرك له حبائل تصيد كثيرا من الناس قد يقع فيه الإنسان، وعبر عنها بهذا التعبير، وهو تعبير لطيف يتناسب مع التخويف والتحذير من الشرك والحث على العناية والاهتمام بالتوحيد.
And the statement of Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah, that you should know that the shirk, if it enters into the worship, that it corrupts it and that it renders the action invalid and that it causes the person to be from amongst the eternal dwellers of the hellfire. That you should know that the most important thing that you should be aware of is this, and perhaps Allah will save you from this trap, and that the shirk that is causing shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said that it's yajibu, that it's wajib or binding upon us, that we should have knowledge and awareness of what tawheed is, and that we should have knowledge and awareness of what the shirk or the polytheistic actions are. Just as much or many of the scholars of Islam have mentioned it and brought it to our attention in many of their books. And that you should know that the servant, if he becomes aware of what tawheed is and what shirk is, then this will cause him to actualize the very thing which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created him for, which is the actualization of tawheed, and it will cause him to stay away from the shirk or the polytheism which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has warned the creation from falling into. The Sheikh said that the statement of Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ أَن يُخَلِّصَكَ مِنْ هَذِهِ الشَّبَكَةِ, that perhaps Allah will save you from this trap, and you can only be saved from this trap if you know what it is, that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded you with and ordered you to stay away from. The Shaykh wanted to mention that the meaning of the shabaka is that it is a shirk, and that it is something which has many ropes or many strings, something which causes something to be trapped, such as a net or a fish's net. So that, and the Shaykh wanted to mention this as a resemblance, such that the person can actually realize the danger of shirk, that it causes a person to be trapped. And this is something suitable to make the takhweef, or to make the servant be afraid enough from falling into this despicable action, and that's enough to encourage the servant to actualize and act upon the tawheed, that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him with.
ثم قال رحمه الله: لعل الله أن يخلصك من هذه الشبكة, وهي الشرك بالله الذي قال الله تعالى فيه: إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء. وبالجملة, فإن شبكة الشرك لا يقع فيها إلا من أساء الظن بالله تعالى ولم يقدره حق قدره. ولذلك قال العلامة المقريزي رحمه الله في كتابه تجريد التوحيد: واعلم أنك إذا تأملت جميع طوائف الضلال والبدع وجدت أصل ضلالهم راجعا إلى شيئين: الأول ظنهم بالله ظن السوء, والثاني أنهم لم يقدروا أو لم يقدروا الرب حق قدره. نعم.
The statement that perhaps Allah Ta'ala will protect you from falling into this trap, and that is causing ascribing partners in worship with Allah Ta'ala, shirk billah alladhi qala Allah Ta'ala fee, that which Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala mentioned in his book, that indeed Allah does not forgive that one should ascribe partners in worship with him, but he forgives whatsoever is less than that for whomsoever he wishes. Sheikh said that in general, that the shirk does not fall upon the servant except the one who has evil suspicion of his Lord. He said that one of the famous scholars of Islam mentioned that if you was to concentrate or to look into the books which mention the misguided sects of Islam, one will find that the affair always returns back to two things. The first of the things is the su' al-dhan billahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the evil suspicion or the bad suspicion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and secondly, that they didn't give Allah his correct estimation.
ثم قال رحمه الله: وذلك يعني الذي يخلصك من هذه الشبكة بمعرفة الباهنة سببية، معرفة أربع قواعد ذكرها الله تعالى في كتابه ثم شرع في بيان هذه القواعد. القاعدة الأولى أن تعلم أن الكفار الذين قاتلهم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مقرون بأن الله تعالى هو الخالق المدبر، وأن ذلك لم يدخلهم في الإسلام. والدليل قوله تعالى: قل من يرزقكم من السماء والأرض أمن يملك السمع والأبصار ومن يخرج الحي من الميت ويخرج الميت من الحي ومن يدبر الأمر فسيقولون الله فقل أفلا تتقون.
Said that with the knowledge and the awareness of that which he had mentioned by way of the actualization of Tawheed and the staying away from the shirk, that a person will know this by knowing the four qawa'id or the four principles or foundations, that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in his book. Then the author Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah went on to mention these four principles in detail. The first principle is that you should know that the pagan Arabs or the disbelievers that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam fought, you should know that they were in total agreement, or that they affirmed that verily Allah, He was the creator and that He was the controller of all affairs. And you should know that this did not enter them into the fold of Islam. And the proof of this is in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala: say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is it who provides for you the provision from the heavens and the earth? And who is it who possesses the hearing and the sight? And who is it who takes out the living from the dead and the dead from the living? And who is it who controls the affair? Know that they will surely say Allah. So say to them, will you then not fear Him?
وأن الكفار الذين قتلهم النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام أهل الجاهلية كانوا يقرون بأن الله تبارك وتعالى هو الذي خلقهم وأوجدهم ورزقهم وأحياهم ويميتهم، يقرون بتوحيد الربوبية هذا على وجه الجملة، وإلا فإنه يوجد منهم من كان يعتقد أن هناك من يرزق مع الله، كما في قوله تعالى: وتجعلون رزقكم أنكم تكذبون. قال ابن عباس في تفسير هذه الآية: تجعلون شكركم لله على ما أنزل عليكم من النعم تكذبون، فتقولون مطرنا بنوء كذا ونوء كذا. فكانوا يعتقدون أن النجوم ترزقهم مع الله تبارك وتعالى. ويدل على هذا أيضا ما أخرجه البخاري ومسلم في صحيحيهما من حديث زيد بن خالد الجهني، وفي هذا الحديث قوله عليه الصلاة والسلام: أتدرون ماذا قال ربكم؟ قالوا: الله ورسوله أعلم. قال: إنه يقول: أصبح من عبادي مؤمن بي وكافر، أما من قال مطرنا بفضل الله ورحمته وهو مؤمن بي كافر بالكوكب. وأما من قال مقرنا بنوع كذا ونوع كذا فهو كافر به مؤمن بالكوكب. وكانوا بالجملة يقرون بتوحيد الربوبية، أن الله هو الخالق المحي المميت المدبر. وإن كان بعضهم يعتقد أن هناك من يرزق مع الله، وهذا كما دلت عليه النصوص السابقة. وأما الخلق فقد ذكر القرآن أنهم كانوا يقرون بأن الله هو الذي خلقهم. قال تعالى: ولئن سألتهم من خلق السماوات والأرض ليقولن الله. وقال تعالى: قل من رب السماوات السبع ورب العرش ورب العرش العظيم سيقولون لله. وغيرها من الآيات الكثيرة التي دلت على إقرارهم بهذا النوع من أنواع التوحيد. وفي هذا رد على الذين جعلوا أن التوحيد فقط هو إقرار بالربوبية، لأن أهل الجاهلية لم يكن خلافهم مع أنبياء الله في هذا النوع من أنواع التوحيد. نعم.
Sheikh said that with regard to this principle, that it is a great and a great principle, and that the kuffar or the disbelievers at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that they affirmed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was the creator and the all provider and the one who caused life and gave death and the one who controlled the affairs. The Sheikh said this is in general. That when the Quran and the Sunnah and the text mention this, that this is in general, that this is what the majority of the disbelievers at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or the pagan Arabs believed. For verily, if it's a matter, one would find that there were from some of them those who believed or those who committed shirk in the rububiyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who believed that there was some type of creation that could actually provide the sustenance like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could also provide. The Shaykh went to one mentioned the ayah. And they claim that other than Allah provides for you. And then the Shaykh mentioned that the tafsir of this ayah, the statement of Ibn Abbas, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that they make their great gratification for Allah from that which He is, from that which He has provided for you. You deny this. You deny this and you say that rather we were provided this provision from this star or that star. He mentioned a hadith from the Sahihain Bukhari wa Muslim, whereby the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam said to his companions, أَفَدْرُونَ مَاذَا قَالَ رَبُّكُمْ. Do you know that which your Lord, do you know what your Lord has said? They said, Allah and His Messenger knows best. He said, verily, some from amongst my servants have become believers, and some from amongst my servants have become disbelievers. As for those of my servants who became believers, and verily they were the ones who said that the rain was caused to come down upon us because of Allah. And as for the ones who became disbelievers from amongst his servants, they were the ones who said that, verily, it rained because of this star or that star. So the Shaykh said in jumla or in general that the pagan Arabs at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they affirmed at-tawheed al-rububiyyah, the singling Allah out alone in His Lordship. So as for the general masses at that time, the Quran affirmed this likewise in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that indeed if you were to ask them who created the heavens and the earth, then they would surely say Allah. Also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that who is the Lord of the heavens and the earth and the Lord of the glorious throne? They will surely say Allah. So the Shaykh said that if one ponders on these two ayah or these two verses, one should surely find that there is a refutation upon those who make the tawheed, the singling Allah and us alone in worship, tawheed al-rububiyyah, that the tawheed of Allah's lordship only. And you should know that this is a grave mistake, because this was not what was intended in the ayat, tawheed al-rububiyyah only, but rather it would be tawheed al-ibadah, that one should solely seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out alone in his actions and in the worship.
ولا ريب أن الخلاف بين أنبياء الله ورسله وأقوامهم كما قلنا كان في توحيد العبادة وليس في توحيد الربوبية، فإن توحيد الربوبية أقر به على وجه الإجمال ولم ينكره إلا الملاحدة الذين لا يدينون بدين كالدهريين والطبائعيين ومن سلك سبيلهم، فإنهم هم الذين فقط أنكروا وجود الخالق وارتكست عقولهم إلى أسفل سافلين. فإن الأدلة الكونية والأدلة وآيات الله عز وجل الكونية والشرعية شاهدة على وجوده تبارك وتعالى، حتى قيل للأعرابي الذي كان في الصحراء: كيف عرفت الله؟ قال: سماء ذات أبراج وأرض ذات حجاج والركب يدل على المسير والبعرة تدل على البعير، إلى أن قال: كل ذلك يدل على وجود اللطيف الخبير. فاستدل على وجود الله بآياته ومخلوقاته التي تشهد بوجوده تبارك وتعالى. وفي هذا الأمر أن هؤلاء الملاحدة كما قلنا ارتكست عقولهم حتى وقعوا في إنكار وجود الخالق، فلعبت بعقولهم الشياطين. وبالجملة فإن الخلاف بين أنبياء الله وأقوامهم كان في توحيد العبادة. ولعلنا نكتفي بهذا الدرس إلى هنا، ولعل في هذا القدر كفاية. والله أعلم، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.
He said further, or went on to continue by saying that the khilaf, or that the difference that occurred between the prophets and the previous messengers and their peoples was in tawheed al-ibadah, or the tawheed al-uluhiyah, in the worshipping of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not in tawheed al-rububiyah. For verily, the people at that time, in general, they agreed with the tawheed al-rububiyah. Except one may find, if one looks into the books of the which have wrote about what happened at that time, one will find that the Dahriya, the people that said that nothing destroyed us except for time, or the Malahida, the atheists, those who denied the existence of the Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one will find that they were the only ones really who would deny this, the lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. But despite this, one will find that the major difference between the prophets and their peoples, it was the difference in worship, that the messengers were sent to order their people with tawheed al-ibadah, the tawheed of worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Sheikh mentioned an akhbar by an Arabi, by a Bedouin, when he mentioned, or he used as a proof for the existence of Allah, the creation, that verily the mountains or the sky or the various forms of creation, they show, or that they indicate that these things have a creator, that all these things do not exist without having someone that created them. So verily, one should look at this Bedouin Arab, that even he had the ability to acknowledge that there was a creator by utilizing those things which existed around him. So the Shaykh wanted to mention that this is a proof of the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as for those atheists, or the ones who say that nothing destroys us except for time, then verily the shaitan has been playing with their intelligence and their minds till they have denied the existence of their Lord. So verily, with regard to Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, one should know that this was not the reason of the sending of the messengers, rather the difference between the messengers and their people was that which occurred in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Tawheed al-Ibadah. And at this point, the Shaykh said that he would call it to a halt. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. The Shaykh has just said that as for the lessons to proceed, for example, next week or the week after, then we're going to call it to a halt up until we find a more suitable time to hold these seminars.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inshallah ta'ala, we'll start with the questions now. The first question is it okay to say, why did you do this to your children or other than them? Or is this showing displeasure to Allah? السؤال الأول يا شيخنا, هل يجوز لنا أن نقول لماذا فعلت كذا وكذا, أم هل في هذه العبارة ما يدل على عدم الرضا بقدر الله؟
الرحمن الرحيم. الذي يبدو أن هذه العبارة لا شيء فيها, ليس فيها اعتراض, إنما هي من باب معاتبة الأم لابنها. هي تسأل عن ابنها من باب معاتبة الأم لابنها, ويعني كذلك تفقد أحواله ومعرفة ماذا صنع وفعل, وهذا لا شيء فيه إن شاء الله.
So the brief answer, the Sheikh said that in this there's nothing wrong with this. That this, if it's so long as it's from by way of the mother giving her child any mannerism or disciplining her child for son, then there is nothing wrong with that. And so long as it's for the mother that she knows or she's aware of that which her child is doing. And in this respect, the Sheikh said that there is nothing wrong with this, so long as it's done with regards to the disciplining of her child.
The questioner asked, what is the meaning of al-aqwal al-batina in the definition of ibadah? They're referring to the statement of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, his definition of worship, where he mentions the inter-sayings. Allah ahfadukum shaykhana sa'il yakul, ma ma'na al-aqwal al-batina fi ta'f? طيب أنا أقرأ السؤال كما جاء إن شاء الله تعالى. يقول السائل, ما معنى الأقوال الباطنة في تعريف شيخ الإسلام للعبادة وجزاكم الله خيرا؟
تعريف شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله للعبادة سبق شرحه, وهو قوله العبادة هي كل ما يحبه الله ويرضاه من الأقوال والأعمال الظاهرة والباطنة. الأقوال ليس فيها ظاهرة وباطنة, الأقوال كلها ظاهرة. الأعمال تنقسم إلى قسمين, ظاهرة وباطنة. ظاهرة كالصلاة والحج ونحوه, وباطنة كالإخلاص والتوكل والخوف والخشية ونحو ذلك. الله أعلم.
The brief answer to the question, the Shaykh said that as for the definition of worship which Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned, then verily we've explained this in the previous lessons. And the definition of Shaykh al-Islam is that the worship is an all-comprehensive term which indicates everything that which Allah loves, from the statements and the actions outwardly and inwardly, such as an example of that which is from the aqwal or from the statements. The Shaykh said that the statements, that there are no inner statements. All of the statements refer to that which is on the outer, on the outside. As for the actions, the Shaykh said that they are divided into two categories. that which is zahir and that which is batin, that which is manifested and apparent, such as the hajj and the salah, and other than it from the outer actions. And the second category of the actions is that which is batin, that which is inner or hidden, such as al-ikhlas, such as the sincerity or having a sincere intention, and likewise. So there is no contradiction in the definition of worship by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, and he said, Wallahu A'lam.
The next question, inshaAllah ta'ala, says, the masjid I visit is not Salafi, but there are only two other Salafis there besides me. Some of the Muslims at the masjid are Tablighis, and the rest are not Salafi or non-Salafi. My Muslim community is very small. It is just three of us. Okay. Should I still visit the masjid for Friday khutbah and pray behind men who shave their beards? السائل يسأل حفظكم الله يقول المسجد الذي أزوره أو أصلي فيه ليس بمسجد سلفي وليس معي من السلفيين إلا اثنان غيري وبعد المسلمين في هذا المسجد التبليغي والبقية يعني ليس بسلفيين فسؤالي هل لا أزال أصلي في هذا المسجد وأصلي خاصة يعني خطبة الجمعة وراء رجال يحلقون لحاهم أفيدونا حفظكم الله.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سبق أن تكلمنا وقلنا إن الضابط في هذا هو أن الصلاة تجوز كل من صحت إمامته صحت الصلاة خلفه، فإذا كان هذا الإمام ولو وقع في بدعة أو معصية غير مكفرة فإن الصلاة خلفه صحيحة وجائزة، وأما إذا كانت البدعة مكفرة فإن الصلاة خلفه لا تجوز، كالرافضة وغلاة الصوفية والباطنيون والبريلوية ونحو هؤلاء، الصلاة خلفهم لا تجوز لأن اعتقاداتهم اعتقادات شركية مكفرة. وأما من كان فيه شيء من الفسق ونحوه بحلق اللحى أو إسبال الثوب نحو ذلك، الصلاة خلف هؤلاء صحيحة وجائزة، وقد صلى بعض الصحابة خلف بعض أهل البدع من أهل الجور أو بعض أهل الجور والظلم، صلى عبد الله بن عمر وغيره خلف الحجاج ابن يوسف الثقفي الظالم المدير ونحو ذلك. فلا يجوز للرجل أن يتخلف عن الجماعة بمثل هذه الحجج، إنما عليه أن يحرص على الجماعة، فإن وجد مسجدا فيها أصحاب سنة محرصون على السنة وكان يعني يتيسر له الذهاب والصلاة معهم فهذا أفضل، وإن لم يجد إلا هذا المسجد ولم يكونوا من أصحاب البدع أو المعاصي المكثرة الصلاة خلفهم جائزة، ومع هذا يبذل النصح والإرشاد لهم، والله الموفق.
بسم الله والصلاة والسلام. Likewise, the Shaykh wanted to say that his answer to this has also been mentioned in the previous lecture, and the Shaykh wanted to mention that the ruling pertaining this is that the prayer is accepted for anybody who fulfills the prerequisites of being a leader in the prayer, and that his prayer is correct in that, then it's correct that the person or that the prayer of the person that prayed behind him, likewise, it is correct. So, in other words, the person that prayed behind this person who was shaving his beard or whatsoever, anybody who prayed behind a person in which it is accepted, him being a leader of the prayer, then likewise their prayer, the ones who pray behind him, likewise their prayer is accepted as well. The Shaykh said this is the basic qa'idah. And the Shaykh continued to say that one should look at the individual who's leading the salah. If he's a person of innovation, and if his innovation is something which doesn't take him outside of the fold of Islam, then verily the prayer behind this person is permissible. And as for the prayer behind a person whose innovation does take them outside of the fold of Islam, and the Shaykh wanted to give examples such as the Rafida, those who curse the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and reject the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and likewise the Baraniyah, those who worship the graves, and the extreme Sufis, then verily prayer behind the lives of individuals is not permissible. And the prayer is not permissible to pray behind the lives of these individuals. As for prayer behind the rebellious Muslims, those who commit sins such as shaving the beard and the likewise, then we refer you back to the principle which the Shaykh previously mentioned, that if they fulfill the prerequisites of being a leader in the prayer, then likewise the prayer of the one which prays behind them is accepted. So verily they haven't done anything which takes them outside the fold of Islam. So the Shaykh continued by mentioning that some of these Sahaba, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, that verily they prayed behind some of the people of innovation in their time, and some of the people of and some of the unjust leaders, such as Abdullah bin Amr, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he prayed behind al-Hajjaj, the leader at that time. So the Shaykh said that it's not necessary that a person leaves the praying congregation for excuses such as this. But despite saying this, if a person can find a masjid whereby the Salafis pray there, or that a leader of the prayer is a Salafi or something like that, then this is surely better. Or if a person can find an individual other than the one who has cut his beard or something like that, if someone can find someone who is clearly practicing the religion, then likewise this is better. And this is a detailed answer for a question which manages to reappear. Wallahu a'lam.
Bismillah. The question I asked, the masjid I visit. More than one person here asked about the issue of the ruling as it relates to going to a masjid, for example, the masjid of Al-Hadid in Birmingham, and other the masjids of these types, where the administration of these masjids and the people in general that go to these masjids, they are not clear Salafis. However, as it relates to some of the people that they invite to the masjid, that the people that they invite to the masjid could be sheikhs who are Salafi sheikhs or so on. So we want to know what is the, could the sheikh clarify the position as it relates to going to these type of masjids. السؤال حفظكم الله حول مساجد مثل مساجد أو مسجد أهل الحديث في برمنغهام وغيره من المساجد التي روادها يعني ليسوا بسلفيين واضحين على حسب ما ذكر في السؤال ولكن قد يعني يستضيفون مشايخ سلفيين فهل يجوز وما الحكم في حضور لهؤلاء المشايخ السلفيين في مثل هذه المساجد أفيدونا جزاكم الله خيرا
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم بالنسبة لما جاء في هذا السؤال أولا قول السائل أن هؤلاء السلفيين غير واضحين هذا غير صحيح لأن هؤلاء عرفوا بالتحزب حزبيون ينصرون الحزبية ويعينون أهل التحزب على أهل السنة ويطعنون طعونا خبيثة في أهل السنة المحضة ولذلك وصفهم بالسلفيين غير الواضحين خطأ فهذا الوصف خطأ لا يجوز إطلاقه بل هم عندهم من التحزب الشيء الكثير وهم الآن يتصيدون في الماء العكر سيستغلون يعني إحسان ظن من قبل بعض أهل العلم في بعض الأفراد منهم ثم يستضيفوهم عبر الهاتف أو البلتوك لإلقاء محاضرة في مساجدهم ومراكزهم وهذا لا ينبغي الذهاب إليهم وتكثير سوادهم بل ينبغي أن يناصحوا وأن يهجروا حتى يرتدعوا عن مسلكهم السيء الذي يدل على تحزبهم وكذلك طعونهم السيئة في أهل السنة ومحاربتهم للسنة. والله أعلم.
As for the answer to this question, Anisha said that quoting the likes of Ja'ifi Ahl al-Hadith, the Masjid of Ahl al-Hadith in Birmingham, as unclear Salafis, then this is not correct first and foremost. And the reason why it's not correct is because these people first and foremost are known to have a tahazzub or hizbiyah. So therefore one shouldn't call them Salafis. The Shaykh said also that they have been known to have not just hizbiyah, but also that they have known to curse and mention bad statements with regards to some of the scholars of the Sunnah. And likewise, the statement or the description of calling them unclear Salafis, that this isn't correct, because rather one is ascribing Salafiyah to them in them doing this, and they don't deserve that. Rather, Salafiyah is for the Salafiyin, and there is no unclearness in Salafiyah. Salafiyah is one, and they, Jamit Ahl al-Hadith, are not Salafis because they are people of Hizbiyah. The Shaykh continued by mentioning that one will find the likes of these individuals, the administrators of Jamit Ahl al-Hadith in Birmingham, that they have bad suspicion of some of the people of knowledge. And then one will find that they spread this type of speech and this type of talk and, in their books, and likewise over the internet on Paltalk and other than that. So the Shaykh wanted to mention that that which is necessary for the people to do is either to advise them and to abandon their lectures and abandon that which they convey. And this is the manhaj of Ahl al-Sunnah, and once you do this up until they leave their corrupted manhaj and that they return back to the truth, and that they stop their muharaba of Ahl al-Sunnah, and that they stop their continual war upon the Sunnah and its people. And the Shaykh said, Wallahu A'lam.
It goes on to say to they want to make there's some other people who wrote in that said to make clear that these masjids they also give out articles against Sheikh Rabi', and to make it clear to the Sheikh also that there is a clear Salafi masjid in Birmingham. Alhamdulillah. أضافوا إلى السؤال الماضي أن هناك أن هذه المساجد كذلك توزع مقالات ضد الشيخ ربيع حفظه الله تعالى وأن هناك مسجدا للواضحين ثلاث دقائق من هذا المسجد الحزبي توظف ذلك للشيخ جزاكم الله خيرا حسب كلامهم يعني هذا الذي ذكر في السؤال. نعم.
سبق أن عجبنا عن هؤلاء بأن جماعة أهل الحديث في برمنغهام بينا أنهم لا يصح أن يطلق عليهم بعبارة سلفيين غير واضحين، إنما نقول حزبيون، نقول هؤلاء حزبيون، ولا ينبغي تقسيم السلفيين إلى واضحين وغير واضحين، هذا التقسيم غير صحيح، وهذا الوصف وصف غير صحيح. السلفي دائما واضح مبين، منهجه بين واضح، كما قال ابن سيرين والحسن البصري وغيرهم، كانوا يرون الرجل على الطريق ما دام على الأثر. السلفي واضح في مسلكه، لا يوجد سلفي غير واضح. هذا الذي غير واضح حزبي متخفي، فنطلق عليه حزبي، وإن كان هناك سلفي لم يصل إلى التحزب عليه مؤاخذات، نقول أن هذا الشخص عليه مؤاخذات لا زلنا نناصحه فيها لعله يرجع ويدع تلك المؤاخذات. أما لا ينبغي تقسيم السلفيين إلى واضحين وغير واضحين، لأن السلفيين واضحون بينون في مسلكهم ومنهجهم وطريقة دعوتهم يصدعون. وأما قضية سلفي غير واضح هذا غير جيد، هذا الوصف إن قلنا بأنه وصف فضلا أن يكون هذا تقسيما فهو تقسيم باطل. ثانيا، ينبغي لطالب العلم أن يحرص على مساجد أهل السنة المحضة السلفيين، يحرص على مساجدهم فيتصل بهم ويتواصل معهم ويصبر معهم ويناصحهم ويناصحونه ويكون مع إخوانه ويكثر سواد إخوانه السلفيين ويبتعد عن هؤلاء الحزبيين الذين ذكر فيهم مثل هذه الأمور أنهم ينشرون كتبا فيها الطعن في الشيخ ربيع حفظه الله أو المشايخ السلفيين الآخرين وفيها غمز وفيها مثل هذه الأمور، وهم يريدون بهذه المحاضرات تكثير سوادهم ودر الرماد في العيون. ولذلك السلفي عليه أن يحرص على الاتصال بإخوانه السلفيين ويدع هؤلاء الحزبيين. والله الموفق.
بسم الله. The Sheikh wanted to say that likewise the answer to this question has already preceded in the previous question, and just by the way of repetition the Sheikh said that as for the Jamiat Ahl al-Hadith in Birmingham, the Mashab Ahl al-Hadith, and verily it's not correct to apply the term unclear Salafis to them for the simple reason that they are not Salafiyun, rather they are Hizbiyun. They are not Salafiyun, and it's not correct that one applies to them this statement. So verily this is saying something good about someone who isn't good. You're applying the correct manhaj to those that have corrected themselves in the manhaj. The Sheikh continued by mentioning that likewise the saying that this is a clear Salafi and this one is an unclear Salafi, that this categorization is something which has not been preceded by the Salaf. This is something new and something that we have no experience of. And one will find that a Salafi is the one who is clear. Only one Salafi. The Salafi is the one who is clear in his manhaj. He is likewise clear in his aqidah, in his beliefs, and the way he interacts with the people and carries out his affairs. He is clear in all of this because of his adherence to the book and the sunnah. There is a statement from Hassan Basri, from Muhammad ibn Sirin, when he said that they used to consider a person upon the correct way so long as he was upon the sunnah, so long as he continued to follow the narrations upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anyway, and the meaning of that, the Sheikh said, is yani the sunnah. As for a person who is a Salafi but he has a few mistakes here and there, but he hasn't reached the level of his hizbiyah, then this person should be advised, and one should not apply to him the statement of the statement that he's an unclear Salafi for the reasons that we've mentioned previously, that the Salafiyah is one. We don't have any clear Salafis or unclear Salafis. One has said that unclear Salafiyah, verily he has made a curse or mentioned a bad statement or applied something that is wrong to the manhaj, and this manhaj of Salafiyah is clear of that. The Sheikh continued by saying that that this taqseem or the categorization of unclear Salafi and clear Salafi, that is something which is incorrect, something which is invalid, something which is batil. And the Sheikh finally continued by mentioning that it's necessary upon the student of knowledge that he has extreme concern and that he visit himself by going and connecting himself to the places of the Salafiyin, of the place of the Salafiyin, those who are known upon Salafiyah, and that rather if he experiences anything by way of harm from them, that he has patience with them, and that yukathiru sawadahum, that he increases them in their numbers, and that he helps them and aids them, and that it's yambaghi, that it's necessary for this person that he leaves the masajid of the Hizbiyin, that he leaves the mosques where the administration are those who have at tahazzub or hizbiyah. And he said especially the ones who, you know, they write and they deal and they distribute information which has curses in the scholars of the Sunnah, such as the Shaykh Rabi' Habibullah Ta'ala. So as for that which is necessary for the Salafi, is that he should keep his contacts with the Salafin of his community, and maybe this should be an answer, a concise or detailed answer for this specific problem in Birmingham. And likewise with regards to the statements of applying to certain brothers that they are clear and other brothers that they are not clear, when in actual fact they are all Salafis.
This lecture has been recorded and distributed by SalafiTrades.com. By no means is any part of this cassette to be sold or edited without the prior permission of SalafiTrades.com. For more information, please contact us at info@SalafiTrades.com.